Isaiah chapter 33. We'll read this evening responsively verses 13 through verse number 16. I'll read verse number 13 and you'll join me on verse number 14 all the way down through verse number 16, Isaiah chapter 33. The Bible says, "Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? He that walketh uprighteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of the rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure." I want you to think about something this evening. Look at verse number 14. It'll be our text verse for this evening. I want you to look at this phrase. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? The title for this evening's message is this: Thriving in God's Judgment. Thriving in God's Judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you. Lord, it is important that we have you tonight. There is no way that one man, one sinner, could give to each and everybody here what the need of the hour is. So we'll ask that we are yielded to you as both I speak and as we listen to the truth that's been prepared. Thank you for the word of God in our lives. Lord, thank you for the importance of it. Thank you for the truths we find within its pages. May we this evening find a certain solace, a certain challenge, Lord, to be closer to you. Lord, we'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. I love the Word of God. And I think the more I read it, the more I love it. I know that's how God designed it, and I know that's so cliche. But I just love the Word of God. One day while reading verse number 14, just captured my mind. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? As long as man has been around, there has been something in play called sin. And all of God's sin requires punishment. Because of God's justice, sin cannot go unpunished. Whether it's personal judgment, which we've seen in the lives of individuals through the Word of God, we've even watched God judge nations. And if you look at history, you will be reminded, I often, as a history teacher, I would make this statement. I would say the downfall to any nation is the first step away from God. The downfall to any nation, and I'm talking any major empire that we saw rise and fall, they were blessed or destroyed based on the relationship to God's word and God's people. It may not have been a Christian nation, but how they handled the word of God, how closely they obeyed Bible principles, whether they knew they were or not, determined the success of that country. And I came to verse number 14, and I read, "Who shall dwell with the devouring fire?" As long as I've been alive and conscious of what goes on in church, I've heard the statements made, well, we were praying for God to bring a revival. We're asking God to do something great. We're asking God to do something mighty. Many times, what precedes revival is a destruction of a culture. Because it is the culture of a people. It is a religious culture that keeps people from seeing themselves as they really are. And God oftentimes has to squash and to break that culture for them to realize what's going on and who they need. One day I was reading the book of Psalms, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I want to follow the outline, but giving a little bit of a preface here. One day I was reading in the book of Psalms, and I thought about David. And I saw his life as an anointed king of Israel. But how he spent many years not sitting on the throne, but being chased like a dog from a hero. And then later on, his own son would chase him from his kingdom. And David would sit down and I would read the prayers of David in the book of Psalms. And I found it very intriguing that he did not necessarily pray for the destruction of his enemy. He would just say, how long? And his focus was not on the badness of his enemy. His focus was not on the difficulty of his situation. His focus was on himself. And one day I read Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 14. Who shall dwell with the devouring fire? And then I read verse number 15. He gives us the answer. God's judgment will come. I'm not a gloom and doom type of person. In fact, most of the messages I preach are very uplifting and encouraging, because that's what we need and that's what the Word of God is built upon. But the truth of the matter of fact is, a society can only live in sin for so long before God judges it. And what are you going to do when that judgment comes? Will you be a part of the judgment, one whom God judges because of a lifestyle? Will you be one who is afraid and faithless during the time of fire? Or will you learn to dwell with the fire? Will you thrive in God's judgment? Verse number 15 tells us who is going to dwell with the everlasting burnings. He's going to tell us who is going to dwell with the devouring fire. He that walketh righteously. He that speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions. Gambling, casinos, the lottery, making the rich richer and the poor poorer. Gambling is ruining the fundamental foundation of our family. He that shaketh his hands from holding bribes. We were joking this morning, Miss Paula and the family, we were joking about, you know, trading some money, getting somebody to do something, but that bribery. You look at our politicians. You look at the fundamental foundation of our country. As I was reading a book, the Federalist Papers, it was a combination of a commentary as well as the papers themselves. I come to find out that our system is not broken. The people who are in its system have caused it to be shaken. It is falling apart. Not because of its foundation, which is the Word of God, but it can only work for a good and moral people. And we've strayed away from that. We've taken bribes. We've turned our eyes to true justice. And we've claimed to unity. And we've claimed that. But it's not justice. The Bible then says, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. And my heart breaks. My heart erupts with tears to think about the unborn human babies that have been killed in murder. It's not abortion, it's murder. We have killed thousands and millions of lives. We pray for God to send a revival, but I wonder how many of those preachers we've killed. We've got blood on our hands, folks. How long shall the blood cry from the ground before God turns his ear and brings justice on a society that murders its own and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil? That does not mean that you close your eyes and you bury your head in the sand and act like the world is full of unicorns and candy canes and everything, life is just peachy keen and okay. It means you're not bringing this evil before your eyes. David, or it may have been Job, or David said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes and I will set no wicked thing before it. God gave us this world to enjoy. There are so many beautiful things in this life to enjoy. But man has perverted those beautiful things. And I will no longer keep my eyes focused on the perverseness that man has caused to God's beautiful creation. Let me make three opening statements. I must hasten. Number one, God has judged his people before. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? God did not destroy that nation because of the wickedness. Abraham said, peradventure there'd be 10 righteous. Sadly, walked away without 10 righteous people, and God destroyed a society. He spared Nineveh. It wasn't because of the wickedness. It was because of the lack of righteousness. Do you remember when God judged his people with fiery serpents in the wilderness for complaining after God just brought them a great victory? How many times did God have to destroy the seat of religion in the Jewish culture to shake them? How many times did he destroy that temple? How many times did he have to crush the very thing which he said, this is the name, this is the place in which my name shall rest? How many times we find God judging his people? So number one, we find out that God has judged his people before. Number two, we find out that people have lived through God's judgment. The first individual I think of is Noah. What a great judgment. Till this day, no greater judgment has fallen upon the earth than that which came upon the earth and when God destroyed it with waters. But God delivered, because he found grace in the eyes of God. Noah did. And he was delivered through God's judgment. He was in God's judgment. He saw everything. He was firsthand, right there. He saw it. But he survived. And he thrived in God's judgment. Lot and his two daughters, although probably not leaving as righteous as Noah did, God spared the life of Lot and his two daughters from the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. How about the three Hebrew boys being spared from the fiery furnace? Parents probably killed in the Babylonian capture of the Israelites, bringing them to Babylon. We find them in a foreign country, away from home, away from people who taught them God's word, but yet, as Daniel said, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel and those three boys and many others would learn from their example and say, look, just because I'm in God's judgment does not mean I have to have God's judgment on my life. I can thrive and be blessed by God while living in the judgment. I can dwell with the devouring fire. We said that God has judged his people. And number two, that people have lived through God's judgment. But number three, that blessings can still be found in God's judgment. I do not have to experience the judgment of God. During the time of judging, I can experience blessings and prosperities. Just because I'm inconvenienced by the happenings of the world does not mean that I cannot or should not be blessed. God seeks to bless those who are obeying. And regardless of the circumstance of this world, I can still be blessed. Our economy is on such a thin, frail sheet of ice, it's not even funny. None of us, I don't even think, know how fragile the economy system is. And if it crashes tomorrow, my God is still in control. I've still got my faith and I've still got God's promises. David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I have not seen my seed forsaken, nor my seed begging bread. God promises us our daily needs. As Pastor preached a few weeks ago, we may not have a full barrel. We might have to go from meal to meal, but I can still rejoice as a Christian in the provisions of God today. Just because God chooses to bring his judgment on a nation or in a life or in a community or in a society does not mean I have to succumb to the bitter attitude. Does not mean I have to hang my harp upon the tree and refuse to play. I can have a joyful and a thankful heart that I have a God whom I still serve and is still a good God. How about Joshua and Caleb? They saw God bring judgment on a nation because they faithlessly walked away from entering into Canaan land. But God preserved them through it. They went through the same wilderness. They got to see Canaan land. They thrived in God's judgment. Elijah watched God bring on a devastating drought and destroy many, many lives of both people and animals. What a time of difficulty it was. But God watched him provide by a brook. God watched him use a widow to provide his needs. And God watched, or Elijah watched as God provided every step of the way. Elijah did not succumb to the destruction of God's judgment on a society. He thrived. Daniel saw great destruction in his life, but he also saw God provide and intervene during a time of captivity. may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be my lifetime, it may not be for another 100 years. But each and every one of us need to look at this truth. What am I going to do if tomorrow the whole world changes? Was it just this week in northern Miami, just outside of Miami, that we watched a building out of nowhere just crumble? And I watched it a couple of times, and I just was like, oh my goodness. Just watching that building teeter and totter and just crumble. And in just an instant of a life, instant of a moment, lives changed for eternity. How many years has it been since many of us sat and watched an airplane fly into the building live after we got news that the first one had already hit? How fast does life change in a moment? Each and every one of you can give stories about how you had a situation where you got a phone call and your life was just changed instantly. What do we do in those times? Do we forsake God and grumble and complain? Oh, God's good God. He's a great God, but now that it's bad, I don't know if I believe that still. Are we going to hold true in our faith and trust God's ability to do what He said He would do? Let me very quickly give you three things this evening. How do I thrive in God's judgment? Number one, do not be surprised when God's judgment falls. This does not mean I go every day, you know, turning on the news or looking behind every tree, waiting for something bad to happen, because you're going to find something bad. You find what you're looking for. But don't be surprised in the context of being caught off guard, allowing it to rock your world. I was playing football one day with a group of teenagers after a football season. And they said, oh, you guys, you couldn't beat us. So we got us old guys together. Old, whatever. I mean, I'm not old, I know. Thank you, Brother Juan. We got together and we were playing, but we had a great game. Well, these little rascals decided they just weren't going to lose. And I don't know who it was till this day. I saw the football and then I saw stars. It was such a cheap shot, I never saw it coming. I landed 5 feet away and I said, ow. I was surprised. I did not see that coming. We shouldn't be surprised when God judges. We should be in tune with the Word of God. We should keep our eyes on the horizon. We should be aware as Christians that yes, God provides, yes, this land is still the greatest country on earth, and it always will be, and that God is a great God and in control. But we need to be aware that bad things can happen very quickly. And what are we going to do when those bad things happen? Don't be surprised when God's judgment falls. Verse number 14 of Isaiah says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. They got caught off guard. That God's judgment came. Don't be surprised, church, when things change and God drops the hammer of judgment on society. Don't be caught off guard. God's judgment on the wicked may also be His way of making you a better child. We find in Proverbs 19:25 that you smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. Sometimes God brings that lightning close. Real close. A 9/11. Or a major incident that just rocks the world. And you kind of step back away and better take a double look at our life and how we're living. Don't be surprised when the judgment of God comes. 1 Peter 4 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened. Don't think it strange. Don't live in fear of the results of wickedness or of the coming judgments. Don't live in fear of the results of wickedness. Psalms 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Fret not when you see the storm brewing. Run to the Lord. Trust in His protection. Trust in the Lord and do good. I'm not supposed to stop life just because I see a storm coming. I'm supposed to press on. Dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But I got to trust and I got to do good to get the feeding. I can't stop, because as soon as I stop, I've cut off the avenue of which God can bless, and that's my faith to obey. I've got to press on in obedience. I can't be so surprised. You know that shell-shocked look of those individuals walking away from a catastrophic event. You just see it in their eyes. They're just in a daze. And sometimes it takes days and weeks and sometimes even years to just come to the reality of what just happened and what they made it through. But spiritually, as a child of God, I am not to respond that way. I don't have to live in the fear of the results. Psalm 73 says, David, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. So I was caught off by their success. But then the destruction of God came. And I saw the end of their actions, and I made sure that I didn't get linked up with Korah. I did not want to be anywhere near when that ground opened up and swallowed. I may not have been doing what he was doing, but if I was too close, there I went. I want to make sure I'm so far away from that. Sometimes God's judgment in a nation or in the world causes us to double check our distance from the world. How close are we to God? Understand that wickedness will perish, but righteousness will flourish. We are told in Psalms 37, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Let me pause for just a minute. I am not to allow our current political structure to discourage me from obeying God. Amen. Amen. We've seen wickedness rise before. We'll see wickedness rise again. But my faith in God is not determined on the White House. Right. It is not determined on the political structure of a nation. My faith is based on the Word and the promises of God. They're going to flourish one day. They're going to die away as the grass dies in the summer heat. But where will I be? Am I going to flourish with them? I'm just as wrong as the wicked. When I stop in fear, I become just like them. I will suffer the same judgment. I've got to do good and trust God and press on to see the end of this judgment. For there shall no reward to an evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Proverbs 24:20. And just like that, wickedness was wiped away. We find that God's promises to the righteous man, he shall be like a tree of life, which is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Those roots are so deep into the waters and into the Word of God that when the famine comes, they're deep enough to reach the water. They're not shaken. When the storms come, they're not shaken. You know, sometimes people don't like the storms. And I watched in Miami a couple of times some pretty big trees just go whoosh. And some pretty decent sized hurricanes. But it's amazing. Those trees that didn't go whoosh made it through the next storm that was even stronger. You want to know why? Because as that storm comes, it rocks the tree. But those roots hold it up. And that soil is loosened up that once it could not get through. Now the soil underneath the tree is more loose than it was prior to the storm, and those roots can go even deeper. Maybe sometimes in your life, God's rocking your tree a little bit to loosen up the soil, breaking up that fallow ground, because it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to get those roots a little bit deeper in God's Word. It's time to take my eyes off of the world and focus a little bit more on His promises. Number one, I should not be surprised when God's judgment falls. Number two, I need to walk righteously. It's an action. It's not an emotional decision. It's an action. You're going to be fearful, but walk on in fear. You're going to be discouraged, but walk on in discouragement. You're going to be heavy-hearted, but walk on with a heavy heart. The Bible says in verse number 15 of Isaiah chapter 33, "He that walketh righteously," and God's going to define what that is, speaking uprightly. "He that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." When God's judgment is coming, it's time to check my walk with God. I will never lose my salvation because of my actions as an individual. But I can lose I can break that relationship. And I can distance myself from the protection of God in a time of judgment. When that time of judgment comes, I think he'd rather you run back to him when you see the storm coming than just stay out there and say, well, I just wonder how this is going to go. Run back to him. Walk righteously. I cannot stop God's judgment from falling, but I can choose to experience the blessings of God during the time of judgment because I walk uprightly. Proverbs 2, verse number 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. There's only one path he's going to preserve, and it's not the path of wickedness. It's not the path of man's carnality. It's the path of faith, the path of uprightness. That path that's been proven and tried. Jeremiah 6:16. Seek ye the old paths. Are you going to be like those that say, we'll not walk therein? We'll go trailblaze and find our own way around. That's the path that God's going to destroy and judge. Proverbs 28:18, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved or delivered, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. God's judgment, God's punishment of sin on a society has never broken anybody. It only revealed them for who they were. God's judgment will not cause the righteous to corrupt. It will simply reveal your standing with Christ. We need to understand that we've got to walk uprightly. What path am I taking in life? Is the word of God a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Have I hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him? Am I aware of what my actions are? I'm not comparing them to an unholy world. I'm comparing them, Leviticus 7:11, I am therefore be holy, therefore for I am holy, saith the Lord. I am holy. Am I comparing my actions to a holy God or to an unrighteous world? Do I have clean hands? Psalms 24:1-6, we don't have time to read it. Write it down. It's a great passage of Scripture. Talks about having clean hands. In Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. What's the Bible say in Psalms 119? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I allow the word of God to reveal to me the errors in my life, and I allow God's word to reveal to me the path on which I should be walking, both in a time of prosperity and in a time of God's judgment. I must walk righteously. I need to have clean hands. I need to consider the poor. I ought to have an awareness of those around me. I understand the government really is messed things up. It used to be the church's job to take care of the poor. And it's hard sometimes to care about them. I know I do, because I work hard for my money, most of the time at least. Some weeks I get it easy. But I usually work pretty hard, and it's valuable. I understand the importance of time. And there's so many jobs available. It's all I can do not to yell out the window, go get one. Pick your choice. Amen. I can work for more McDonald's now than I did starting off as a machine shop, 10 years ago. And don't talk to the old timers. I mean, good grief. They were making 75 cents every 3 days. I mean, good grief. You know, it was real cheap back then. But it's hard. But do not allow the corruptness of the government to ruin your compassion for people. They still have a soul I can care about. I may not hand them a $20 bill. Probably not a wise investment. Do you need something to eat? And as I feed their bellies, I'm going to show them the bread of life. Amen. That's good. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to give them a drink of water. They'll never thirst again. I've got to care about people. I caught myself the other day leaving Walmart. Oh, that was enough to ruin the day right there. I caught myself leaving Walmart, and I was wearing a shirt that said Air Force. And of course, you know, my fantastic physique. You know, I look like I could be in the military, you know. Anyways, and a lady made a comment, and I said, no, that's my brother. And I got about half the parking lot, and I looked at her, and I said, that was rude. I should have stopped. I should have used that as an opportunity to be a better Christian to somebody, or to be a witness to. And the next time I saw her at the store, I slowed down a little bit. Same greeter, just opposite the door. She happened to be on the door. I walked in that time. I was happy. I stopped and I asked her how she was doing, and I was a little bit more cordial that time. But how we get so fast paced, so busy, that we just ignore. We are the salt of the earth, but we can't do any good if we're not sprinkling our salt out a little bit and touching and helping the people that we come in contact with. I've got to consider the poor. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, Psalms 41. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. Sounds like devouring fire. Sounds like a time when life's not going as well. Time of trouble the Lord will deliver. The Lord will preserve him. That we're preserved to keep from going rotten. He's going to preserve him through, keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languish. There's a lot of beds I've slept in, but one I really don't want to sleep in is the bed of languish. That will make his bed in his sickness. When I'm there, God will meet my needs. I've got to consider the poor. It's time the church not be so closed in. We're so righteous and so holy, we're too good for anybody, and we're not reaching anybody because we're not willing to reach out and accept those. Oh, we talk a big talk and we cry aloud and we spare not, but who are we bringing in? When's the last time we touched a life? Consider the poor. Lastly, number one, we find out in order to thrive in God's judgment, I must not be surprised when his judgment falls. Number two, I must live by faith. I must walk righteously. And number three, and lastly, I need to live by faith and I'm not to live by fear. What is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is doubting God. But faith is acting on the belief instead of acting on the doubt. You can't have faith without fear. We all have fear in our lives. We all have things that we regret that are a part of us, and we just wish we could get rid of them. But sometimes that's an opportunity to use our flaws to reveal God's strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We need to live by faith and not by fear. What does verse number 16 say? He shall dwell on high. That the one who's walking uprightly, the same person who's making it through the devouring fire, he shall dwell on high. Listen to the wording. I love the Bible. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. I'm not exactly all sure what that is, but that sounds cool. That sounds strong. That sounds manly. I don't know if that's, RPGs. I don't know, but that sounds protected. The munitions of rocks, that's cool. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. I'm going to have a full belly, and I'm going to have clean drinking water. I'm going to have my needs met, bread and water, basics of life. I've got to live by faith. I see that devouring fire. I'm afraid, because I really don't know what the future holds. And my first instinct is just like yours, tuck tail, run, and go, oh my goodness, what's happening? But I got to stop. I got to live by faith. I can't run in fear. I've got to stay close to God. I will not experience his presence and his provisions if I am not dwelling in his presence. God's protection is told us in Psalms 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. I can sing in the times of difficulty. He's going to compass me as that mother hen wraps her, as her rings around its chicks in the time of the storm. I can feel secure in the cleft of the rock. There shall be strength received by staying close to God, according to Psalms 59:9. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Sometimes in a storm, sometimes in a trial, when the fires come, you just got to wait. It's not easy. Be still and know that I am God. No wonder the Bible says, be of good courage and wait on the Lord. Sometimes waiting is the hardest thing to do. Especially in today's age. We just want to go, find our own way. Wait, stop. Let me lead. That still small voice, let me guide you through life. I've got to wait on God because I will receive strength only when I do. I find stability when I'm close to God in Psalm 62:2. Because of His strength will I wait on Thee, for God is my defense. Living by faith also requires me to not allow the storm of the fear, that the fear of the storm to drive me away from God, but drive me closer to God. Remember the disciples were on the ship? They didn't go head first into the storm. They may have had a little bit of a lack of faith, as the Bible says, but they at least made one right move. They went down to the hole where Jesus was at and said, "Hey, we need some help. We know you got a connection." May have showed a little bit too much fear, but they had enough faith to go talk to Jesus. When that storm comes, we may not do it right. We may not do it perfect. We may have a little too much fear. We at least go wake them up. Man's natural reaction to a time of fear is Psalms 55. What does Psalms 55 say? Because of the voice of the enemy, the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me. They blame me for things I didn't do. Call me a rabble-rouser. In wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. I love them. I've sacrificed. I'm hurt emotionally. The terrors of death are falling upon me. I got no idea what's coming. I'm going to die. Fearfulness and tremblings are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storms and the tempest." Does that not describe me and my lack of faith? Those times, I wish I had wings. I don't like flying. I really don't. I'd find another way around. But I get what he's saying. I wish I could get away. I wish I could just leave it and all go away. Go to far distant places. You can run, but your troubles are still going to follow you. There's still going to be new troubles there, and you're going to make it worse because you ran away from God. His protection is not there. Man's natural reaction to a time of fear is Psalms 55. And instead of wishing you had wings to fly away from fear, you should find comfort for the present troubles and find hope for the future under His wings, Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. I don't know what's going on. If this goes wrong, it's your fault. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpassed, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things. All things, not some of them. And we know that all things work together for good. All things worked out according to His will. God performeth all things for me, but I gotta wait. Because when I try to force God's will, I create more problems, not less. I gotta wait on God. He shall send from heaven, and He shall save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Daniel said, "I purposed in my heart." You want to know when he did that? He did that before the Babylonians invaded. You've got to decide now, while it's still good, what you're going to do. Now, you've got a chance when the storm comes to make the right decision, but you're a lot more apt to go, I know what I want to do, but I've already decided that I'm not going to do that. Make up your mind. Is your heart fixed on God? You've got to determine, are you going to trust in God? Don't have the time. I'm all out, but Psalms 46. I need to not rely on man's ability, or I need to complain about the fact I don't understand the situation I'm in. Psalms 32. The Bible brings us comfort. He says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." But if I'm not where God is teaching, then I'm not going to get what I need, and I'm going to be lost on my own path. What does the Bible say in Isaiah 33:14? "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has suppressed the hypocrisy, the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Christians, do not allow the difficulties that God brings into your life that He intended to build you to break you. He will bring fires into your life. Sometimes they may not be judgments of sin. Maybe He's trying to purge you. Maybe He's trying to make you stronger for His work. But don't flee in the times of that devouring fire, whether it's God's judgment or whether it's a time of purging in my life. Walk uprightly. Number one, do not be surprised when God's judgment falls. Number two, I must walk up righteously. Number three, I've got to live by faith. I cannot live by fear if I'm to be successful. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is His treasures. We don't know what's going to happen, and each and every one of us face difficulties in life. And it might be tomorrow we face another one. But there's hope. I don't have to wither with the grass. I can thrive in God's judgment. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The truth of this evening is plain, very simple. Do you trust God? Many of us claim to, but how close to God are we? It's easier to trust somebody when you're a little bit closer to them. Get close to God in the times of plentiful. Be like Joseph and prepare for the time of famine. Whether it's God's purging me or it's a judgment on a nation or on a life, on a community, I can thrive. I don't have to squander and fall apart and be a casualty. My life can count for Christ and I can finish my course. I can fight a good fight. If you're here this evening and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask that you would. That I ask that you'd come talk to somebody. We'll have somebody with the Bible ready to show you from God's Word how you can rest tonight peaceful, free from God's judgment of wrath on sin, from a devil's fire. You can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you're here this evening and you've struggled in faith, maybe tonight you can rededicate to God that faith that you said that you were going to put in Him and make a decision that you'll fix your heart in the good times and in the bad times.